Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you from beautiful, historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a big hand. We welcome you. I should work on my podcast voice. I got to find my FM voice. NPR. Hello, podcast people. I don't know. That sounds a little sleazy. I guess it's a series that we. Oh, that's cool. I like this. The title is "Open the Eyes of My Heart: Meditation and 2020 Vision for 2020." When I started this a couple of weeks ago, I used the scripture, it's Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And if you look at Paul's chronology, you can kind of see, like, things that he said to the Romans, he ended up not saying to the Ephesians. And so there was, you could tell little by little he was working out, he was deprogramming himself of Moses and Gamaliel, and embracing the light more that spoke to him on the road to Damascus. And Ephesians, in my opinion, was his most enlightened epistle. There's no legalism in it. Ephesians is very, it's just very different. It's very, he writes some beautiful things, and he uses, it opens with a prayer, and he says, I pray that, he talks about your heart having eyes. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart or enlightened. And I use that verse, but I want to show you, I love different translations. I love that a translation is always a little bit of a paraphrase. I told you this before, tell you again, when I was writing Gospels in the Now, I talked to a man who was a professional translator of the Bible. I mean, he actually would go into such remote areas where they didn't even have a written alphabet, and he would translate the Bible for them. So this guy was a true linguist. And I asked him, I don't know how much liberty to take with how I see a word when I'm translating this. I understand the difference between a translation and a paraphrase. Like, if you look at the Amplified Bible, you'll see there's a lot of parentheses and there's a lot of brackets. The parentheses is a translation, the brackets are a paraphrase. And even in the beloved King James Version, the men who were on that panel in 1603 that decided what was going to go in that translation, which finally came out in 1611, if you've got an old school King James Bible, even the words that are in italics means that it was their commentaries. Like, this isn't really in the original, but this is what we think this means. And so I said, how much liberty can I take? Because, it's a very serious thing to be translating the scriptures. And he said, well, technically, I mean, this was one of those sentences that somebody says to you that changes your life, especially because he was a professional. He said, technically, every translation is a paraphrase because a word doesn't have an exact. Sometimes there's not an exact equivalent to it in another language. Like, I remember I was preaching a several thousand member church in Panama years ago. And I had a really good interpreter. He was one of those guys that would get in the zone with you. I'm sure you've worked with him like that, Doc. That, you know, you literally become one mind. You know, like, they're saying something while you're saying the next. Like, they're already. You're saying the next sentence while they're translating the previous one. But we were in a zone, and it was a great audience, and it was just a good flow. But then I said something about this guy thought he was really cool. And the interpreter looked at me and he said, what do you mean? I said, you know, like, we're on the stage in front of 5,000 people. He said, what do you mean he thought he was cool? And I said, you know, like, I'm trying to act it out. I said, like, he thought he was cool. And he didn't understand what I meant. He said, like, he was cold? I said, no, like, I said, isn't there a word? Like, there, he couldn't find a word in Spanish. He finally came up with one, chevere, that was like, I think that's what you mean. But I realized that, well, even for English-speaking people, there's things in that mean something in the South that don't mean that in the North. What's the guy, the real heavy-set comedian, Bruce, is that his name? He was talking about he was diagnosed with diabetes. And he said, I went and told my mom. He said, Mom, I've been diagnosed with diabetes. And she said, okay. And he said, I was surprised. Like, she didn't want more upset. And he said, then I realized she's never called it that. In her generation, they called it the shug. So he said, Mama, I got the shug. And she was like, ah, my baby's got the shug. She's like, Jesus. And he said, I said the exact same thing to her, but I had to find a word that she related to. And I thought, that's the essence of translation, which is why I love so many different translations. Anybody who says, and I say this with boldness, anybody who says the King James Version is the official translation, that is a false doctrine. That is I would go so far as to say it's a doctrine of devils. Because unless you lived in Great Britain in the 17th century, it is not the authorized version for you. It's a great one. It's the one everybody knows the most. That's why when I use another translation, I will give you a point of reference to say, this is where it says in the King James, because I know, you know, all those years that I memorized stuff, it was all out of the King James. So I'm not anti-King James, but to make a bibliolatry is a, I mean, it's not just a sin, it is a deceptive, demonic, anti-Christ, damnable heresy. Because, because I met a guy one time who believed that suffering was the will of God. And I said, what do you mean that? He said, the Bible even says that children should suffer. I said, what? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. I said, sir, in Elizabethan English, suffer just meant allow. It means suffering in the context. He wasn't saying that children should suffer. And that guy, he actually said to me, if the King James was good enough for Jesus and the disciples, it's good enough for me. And I said, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And this guy had a large church. I wanted to go to his church and go, your pastor is an imbecile. I mean, he's an imbecile. Like, I just gave him truth. And he even said, where did you get all this stuff about original languages? I said, are you serious? I said, do you think Jesus was British? So I love, if there's a phrase in a scripture that I love, and all somebody says, what's your favorite translation? I don't think I have a favorite. There's some I use more than others, but I love those websites like Bible Gateway or Bible Hub, because there's a drop-down list, and you can see all the different, and I'll show you what I mean, because just the concept of your heart having eyes is a beautiful concept. I love that idea. When you see the Hindus, when they paint a little red dot right there, it's symbolic of what they call the third eye. So it means your intuition. I'm telling you, whether you call it walking in the spirit or whatever, you have to learn how to start using your intuition. Because your eye, these things, these optical organs do not always show you the truth. You need to see things with your heart. So I want to show you the line. I think the first one I have up here is out of the Amplified Classic. The reason it's Amplified Classic is a few years later, they modified the Amplified and tweaked a little bit. I like the original. The classic one is my favorite version. I love the Amplified. But here he says, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. I love that phrase. Then the second one is out of the Living Bible, which they also revised that a few years later. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I love that, because I'm going to talk about forthtelling in just a moment, but let me get to the rest of these. This is out of the Phillips translation. I think this one came out like in the 40s. J.B. Phillips, who's great, beautiful. It's just the New Testament. But he says that you may receive that inner illumination of the Spirit. That's a great phrase, inner illumination. And that's not some strange Eastern philosophy. Jesus and Paul both talked about in what we call the New Testament, the inner light. If you say, well, inner light, that's some New Age philosophy, you're really showing your ignorance of the Scripture. I mean, I don't know why I'm painting in such bold colors today, but I'm just bored with people who don't know what the heck they're talking about. I mean, I don't know everything, but I've been preaching for 48 years. I mean, I know my way around the Bible, you know? And when people are just intentionally stupid, and you present, like, let me show you what this originally says. Exactly. Well, and there's a lot going on right now. Even Ken's daughter-in-law, which surprisingly, because we're not even Facebook friends, she messaged me the other day. She had found this thing that the word homosexual wasn't even in the Bible until the 30s. And she said, is this true? And I said, yeah, because I don't think I said it specifically that way in my last book, but when those verses of Scripture that people think are talking about gay people, they were talking about boy prostitutes. They were not, Sodom and Gomorrah has no more bearing on my life than it does on your life. It's like, I don't want to live there. That's completely irrelevant. And when you see how, some of you that came to my school, the Bible 5, I taught the biblical roots of racism, misogyny, and homophobia. And it actually did a number on me. More with misogyny than anything else. The misogyny in the Scriptures, when you start looking how anti-woman the Bible was, it's, even as a man, it's depressing. I can't imagine what it puts. I mean, just unbelievable, the stuff, you know, like, you know, if your daughter's raped, you can sell her to the rapist for half price. And even, you know, I walked Christina down the aisle when she got married. I understand that whole thing. But even the whole concept of giving your daughter away, like, find another way to say that. If you want to escort your daughter, but to say, I'm giving her away, who gives this woman, like, this is that she's not property. Like, my daughter's not an object that I'm giving to somebody. That's crazy. And when you say that to some people, they want to fight you on it. Like, I understand why Paul talked about people who are ever learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. When somebody says, you don't sound like you sounded 20 years ago, I'm, thank you. Thank God, because you still do. If anything, you've gone retro. Like, you don't know, you know, you know the Bible, but you don't know Jesus. You sure don't know the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know, on the road to Emmaus, I love that story when Jesus is walking with those disciples for, it's a longer distance than the Peachtree Road race, it's 7 miles. And they're discussing the Scriptures. They don't recognize Jesus. What are y'all upset about? Well, you know, Isaiah the prophet. They're talking about the Scriptures with Jesus and don't recognize Jesus. That's why when some church puts, you know, on their marquee, we're a Bible-believing church, I'm like, oh, how sad for you. Sad for you. I believe in the Bible, but I believe, you know, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll lead you into all truth. Not when, you know, a few centuries from now, when these books are written and some guys go to North Africa at the Council of Nicaea and decide which, if you're Protestant, which 66 books are going to go into the canon. And it still does. The letter still kills. In the International Standard Version, it says the written text still kills. And I'll find now, occasionally, somebody will ask me something and I'll, like, they'll send a message and I'll write it back and they'll say, well, I know, but I want to know what the Bible says about that. Well, the Bible doesn't say something about everything. When people say, there's an answer for everything in this book, I'm like, you must not have read it, because there's some things that are, there's nothing, you're going to have to actually meet God. Exactly. In the beginning was the Word. Not in the beginning was the Bible. Absolutely. Y'all just know it all, don't you? This one is really cool out of the Passion Translation. Doc, I thought of you. I thought of that Neville Goddard when I saw this. Because he says here, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light. What? So I thought it was the eyes of your heart. It's how you interpret that word. That word can mean a lot of things. I mean, you think about some words you use the same word for lots of different meanings. That's why you have to understand context. But I love that. I like this Passion Translation. You had mentioned one time you'd like to get a copy of it, but it's online. I mean, there was a time prior to the internet, like when I used to go to my office on Saturday nights. I already knew what I was going to preach on, but I would perfect everything. And I would have, my desk would be filled with Bibles and dictionaries and Strong's Concordance, Vine's Bible Dictionary. I don't do any of that now. I can do all of that with my phone. That's when people say, you know, they don't bring a Bible to your church. Well, which one would they bring? Like, because you don't know which one's he going to refer to. Exactly. And it's that. I mean, sometimes I actually like the feeling of paper, and I don't think that will ever go away. But just the availability of one of the best ones, and it's not on a lot of the websites, is the Mirror Translation. Francois Dutoit, it's amazing. But I love this one. This Passion Translation is good. Illuminate the eyes of your imagination. And then the Jonathan Mitchell, I use this a lot. It's very wordy, but this one's really good. He says, the eyes of your heart, the insights and perceptions of the core of your being, having continued being enlightened or being progressively illuminated into a state of enlightenment. I love the word progression. I'm not mad at the charismatics, but one mistake we made in the charismatic world was instant gratification. Like, come up to this prayer line, I'm going to pray for you, and everything will happen. Things rarely happen that way. You know, when Jesus prayed for the 10 lepers, it says they were healed as they went. They didn't just stand there and wait for manifestation. If you're in the process of recovery, it's possible to be both a masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time. And progression is illumination is progression. Progression is illumination. Even now, and somebody this week, he lives in Virginia, got my last book. I guess he got it off Amazon. And he said, this is the most practical book I've ever read. Well, if I were writing it now, I would already write it differently. It doesn't mean I'm going to take it off the market. I'm just saying that's the way I spoke a few years ago. I don't speak that way now. I don't know what I'll sound like 5 years from now, but I'll sound better. I think what's happening now is, and I think it's happening to a lot of you, you're actually becoming the message. You know what I mean? It's like, you just say it. I mean, Eddie, some of the stuff you've posted recently on Facebook, it's like scripture. And it's like, well, it's the gospel according to Eddie. And it's in your vernacular. It sounds like you. You write like you talk. But there's light in that. And I'm telling you, I was taught in Bible school, if the text says something different from your heart, always go with the text. Now I think just the opposite. If the text doesn't agree with my heart, I'm like, text ain't right. I trust my heart. That's when you know you've grown up spiritually, when you start trusting your own heart. And you don't even have to argue with people about the Bible anymore. You're like, look, if that's your revelation, namaste. You know, but namaste right here where I am. I'm like, I can't resist. Exactly. If that's where you are, that's fine. I don't mean that in a condescending way. It's just like, I don't even think that way now. And if you do, that's fine. But I'm telling you, I look back, and this is just the truth. I look back over my ministry. I haven't met many happy Christians. I haven't. I met Christians who were, you know, thinking the world was going to end, and they're fighting the devil, and they live in that constantly. And now the type of people I meet they're just happier. Well, you're exactly right. Definitely with the Pentecostals, happiness was frowned upon. Like, you're not supposed to feel at home in this world. You're not supposed to like this world. You're supposed to be wanting the next one. And, I remember when I was a young man, I started reading some of E.W. Kenyon's books. And I remember it changing my brain chemistry because, I remember reading his The Father and His Family, and he was talking about how God created the world in the way that a parent puts together the nursery for a baby they're expecting. And he talked about how God wanted there to be color in the world. And I remember thinking, wow, you really like it here. Because, you know, there's people now that teach that talking about ecology or taking care of the planet is some liberal New Age theology. Like, really? But I was taught the world was going to be renovated by fire. So I thought, well, why are we worried about, you know, polluting? Because, you know, God's going to burn it down, you know, soon. And then when you start realizing, oh, we're supposed to love it here. And then when you start having the nerve to say, well, maybe this is heaven. And that's, I'm telling you, that's a whole other thing. When you can say, oh, well, yeah, streets of gold, that's okay, cool, but man, that sunset on the beach was pretty heavenly. You know, I mean, I don't like, I kind of loved it. And it's when you start realizing, oh, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to love your life. It's okay to not read spiritual warfare into everything and not be paranoid all the time. And anyway. So I wanted to share these with you. I really love them. And I do want to say something about the idea of the eyes of your heart, because one of the translations said, see the future of your calling. I'm in a kind of an evolution period with the idea of forthtelling. You know, I was raised with the gifts of the Spirit, and part of the gift of prophecy, especially the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, was to tell future events. And some of them have been accurate. Some of them, I understand why Paul said prophecy has to be judged. I understand why Paul said we know in part, we prophesy in part. Just because somebody prophesies something doesn't mean it's the truth, and it doesn't mean it's an absolute. Even if it's the truth, they are still prophesying to your potential. And I watched over the years, you know, I was pretty thorough about screening people that I would have come in that would foretell. Back in the day, you know, the singer Katy Perry, her parents, I used to have them in a lot, and we were friends, and they would do that, and it was fine. But I would also notice that sometimes they would give somebody a word, and the word would make the person lazy. It was like, you're going to meet this, you know, this thing's going to happen, and they would be like, well, it's going to happen. I think, well, you still have to, prophecy is still conditional. You still have to meet certain criteria for things to, you know, manifest. And then I've had some people, I had one of the most respected prophets ever, and it's not one that you're thinking. This is somebody, I would say his name, you would know him. I mean, he's famous. He had a school for prophets. And he prophesied over me one time that I was going to have a home for fallen ministers, and I'm like, that's not even in my, That's not even on my wish list. Like, dear Lord, I don't want to, I'm not your sex scandal guy to, you know, help you figure, you know, y'all, I can't put y'all together in a house. Good Lord. That's, and I remember, you know, he had his hand on me and I was like, you know, everybody's like, he's the greatest one. I'm like, man, not so much. And you know how many times I've told you the story when I first met Rutherford and he told me, you know, he's been very accurate about, you know, my children. And so I'm not anti, what do you call it, readings or prophetic or whatever. I think where I'm at now is I believe so much that we're creating reality as we go that it's like I don't need it anymore. You know what I mean? Like I've ended up being my most trusted prophet. Like I prophesy my future. Exactly. And, you know, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit, he talked about the implosion of the spiritual gifts. He says, you know, whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish. Whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues will cease. I mean, they were not meant to be doctrinalized and kept indefinitely. You were supposed to weed off of them at some point. But I have had some amazing things. I was thinking about this week, back when we first built the first building in Conyers, the church doubled in size that year. That was in 1997. We went from like 750 to 1,200 in 1 year. We had to go to two and even three services sometimes. And so during that time, I started getting the attention of a lot of people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. One of them was Dr. Mark Sharona, and we're not in each other's lives now. You know, it's some of the turns I've taken, he wasn't able to take with me, but I remember things like in 99, he called me one day and he said, I don't know what this means, but in the next 11 to 18 days, he specifically said 11 to 18 days, your church is going to be given a worldwide platform. People all over the world are going to see your church. So I'm thinking, well, what's going to happen? So 11 days later was when the shooting at Heritage High School was. And I don't think Felicia's here today, but she's usually here on Sundays. Her daughter, Kanaya, was shot. She wasn't killed. She was shot in the leg. But because of that, because I was at the hospital with her a lot, I started getting on the news. And well, then when she got out of the hospital, some of you might have been going to church back then. But what I did for her, I said, you know, I get tired of these shooters getting all the attention here in their name. I said, I want to celebrate that you're alive. So I hired a limo and I had her brought to the church and we got her roses. Well, when I drove up in the parking lot and NBC, ABC, all their trucks were set up. So on the 18th day, he said 11 to 18 days. On the 18th day, I was getting emails from Israel, like people were seeing that all over the world. And the next day, that's when Clinton was president and Al Gore was vice president. So Al Gore came to meet with the all the parents of the people who the kids had been shot. Nobody was killed that day, but several people were injured. And I'm sitting there listening to Al Gore, and he says, well, it's just like Bishop Swilly said yesterday in his sermon, we need to celebrate the kids. And I'm like, how the heck does Al Gore? Well, come to find out, he had watched my entire sermon on an NBC feed. And so Mark was right, from the 11 to 18 days. Now, there were other things that happened later that brought me a lot, even more notoriety. But I remember that, like, well, that was really interesting, specifically. I know other people who have prophesied things, and I'm like, I got to put that one on a back burner. I don't know about that one. But when somebody says the next 11 to 18 days, that does get your attention because you think, well, like when Rutherford said you're going to have a son in August, I said, well, that would mean my wife's pregnant right now. He said, she is. I said, no, she isn't. He said, yes, she is. Sure enough, she was, and Jared was born August 8th. So I have definitely had experience with that sort of thing. And even now, like I told you about this guy, I don't even know him, but he was a trainer that used to train where Stephen trained. And he's moved to Miami, and I follow him on Instagram, and I just felt like giving him a word. I didn't even call it prophecy. I just said, even yesterday he had posted, he was out on the beach training a whole bunch of people. I mean, he clearly has hit his zone. Like, he's just been there a few days, and he's got all these clients. And I said, you clearly have found your flow. I mean, I'm interested to see how this thing's going to play out for you. And there's, you know, I told you he was supposed to be triplets, and his two brothers were stillborn. I said, you've absorbed the life force of your two brothers. And he's like, oh, my God, dude, you're, like, rocking my world. And I don't even overthink those kind of things. Like, my neighbor, I just texted, by the way, the Holy Spirit says, stop overthinking the things about your relationship and your job. And I said, you need to relax because things are trying to come to you. And he texted right back, like, I immediately felt peace when you said that. So I don't need to call you up in front of a crowd and speak Elizabethan English over you. Prophecy now is so infused into the way. We'll talk to that little girl, well, that young lady, in Blue Ridge this week at the tea place. You know, I don't even know what I said. But she said, I just asked the universe this question, and you came in and answered it. Well, okay. So if you're always looking for a word outside of you, you will miss that. Some of the most profound things I hear now are, they sound really simple, you know? Like when somebody says, you need to be still right now. If it's somebody who really speaks into my life, or don't stress over that or whatever, I'm like, oh, no, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Which brings me to this quote. I have two quotes I want to show you. I used this in a meditation earlier this week. It says, what you want is already here in the unified field of pure potential. Everything you need to fulfill your greatest desire is already part of your being. But it can't come out until you align with it, let go of the obstructions to it, and raise your vibration to the level at which it already exists. So I'm just telling you, for people like you, y'all are through the looking glass. Do you understand? Your days of flying somewhere hoping some guy in the crowd's going to call you out and prophesy, you don't need it now. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's not applicable to you now. You already, dare I say, know more than a lot of those guys know. I mean, to be prophesied over now would nearly be like a demotion. Like, you don't need it. You needed it at one time. It is. It's putting away childish things. And it's fun. It's fun. I mean, I've been prophesied over, I mean, by the best of them. And it's totally. Well, the first year, oh, yeah, totally. The first year that we had Kim Clement, it was the biggest crowds we've ever had. And because I am honest, the offerings we gave him that year were twice what I made. We paid him twice what I made in one year. But that's what came in. Like, you know, he said, I've never seen offerings of this. That's what the people gave. Because people, it just hit the nerve. That's what, and it was great. I wouldn't take anything for that season. But man, I outgrew it fairly quickly. But yes, people who don't know how to get an answer for themselves, and they don't know that it's already in them. And they don't know. I at least knew back in the day the prophecy was supposed to confirm what I already knew. And if somebody says something that's so out of left field that you're like, I've never even thought about that. Like, what? That's not, I mean, I'm just going to have to ponder that one in my heart, which, you know, there's a place for prophecies like that. I don't think Mary, you know, visualized a virgin birth. I think she was just engaged to Joseph. So I believe there's a place for a word just coming in and interrupting, you know, your schedule. But those things are few and far between. And now what I have noticed in my own life, the less I look for that kind of thing, the more things just happen on a daily basis where I'm just at the right place at the right time, where I can say, you know, it's Thursday, but your kids are in town and they've got friends with them. Let's just go to the theater and see if they've got six seats available. I mean, that's, I don't know if you've ever bought Broadway tickets on a Thursday in New York. You can't get, there's no such thing. People are on waiting lists for years. And I said, let's just go in. Is it possible to get six seats? And she goes, six seats just came available in the eighth row. Okay. And no, honestly, I didn't even do that. I was like, good, we'll take them. And then it turns out we needed five. We go back the next day, five instead of six. Big sign, absolutely no refunds. I said, yesterday we got six tickets, but it turns out one of the kids didn't come, so we really only need five. And I was ready to eat it if they hadn't. I was like, well, you know, live and learn. And not even a heartbeat. She goes, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just like that, refund. I didn't need a prophecy for that. That's just, it's just being in the zone. That's just when now you are the prophecy. You are the, everywhere you go, you are the light. You know, it starts making you go back and look at, why did Jesus say you are the light of the world? Let your light so shine before me. Why would he say that? Because this was the progression that was supposed to happen. I mean, I'm finding I need people to pray for me less and less. I'm not anti-prayer, but I mean, I'll save it for, I mean, I don't even tell some of the things that go on, you know, with my dad these days. I mean, there's no point in even talking about it when people say, how's it going? I'm like, it's, you know, about, it is what it is. And there's good days, there's bad days. I don't even think about posting it now. Like, there's nothing to, like, yeah, I mean, pray for me, but it's fine. It's just a rite of passage. I'm deeply regret this has happened to him. I don't want to judge him too harshly because I don't want to send some bad mojo out and it happened to me. So I'm like, I'm trying to be patient. Like, that's his journey. My journey's going to be different. I will live a long time in my right mind. And, you know, he's a good man. I don't have the answers for why that happened. But I don't need to constantly ask people to pray. It just is what it is. And sometimes you'll text me and say, I hope you're having a really great day. That's all I need. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you too. I usually do back at you. And like, well, that's not a prayer. Yeah, that's kind of where we are now. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, something as simple, again, I mentioned this, but when I had vertigo the other day, and it got better, but then I woke up one morning. Oh crap! Really? Because it felt like I had relapsed, and I picked up my phone, and my cousin had just written, "I'm glad you're feeling better." And when I read that, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go with that reality. Yes, and I immediately started getting better. That doesn't sound like a prayer. Yeah, it kind of was. It was. A lot of what people do, like tomorrow, I'm sure I'll watch it. It's my every year I watch the King celebration. For those kind of ceremonies, lots of people are on the platform to pray, but they're not praying. They're preaching a sermon, you know, whatever. It's not prayer. It's cool oratory, but it's not prayer. Prayer, I'm finding now most of my prayer is lateral. I don't need to take you before the throne of God. I can just say, you know, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through it. And here's a thought. My word has power too. Yes, exactly. Because I have people that will say, I need to hear it in your voice. I mean, I understood what Roz meant when she said, I need you to write that word, agree. Like, I understand what you're saying. Because what she's saying is, if you'll say you agree with me, then it'll happen. Okay, fine. Yeah. And if people are not living in that world, they don't understand that. So there's no point in arguing with them about it. They're just not there yet. But you're right. It's a childish thing that you have to put away. Now, a prayer, honest to God, a prayer can be like that. I mean, I've had somebody just come along and put their arm around me, and I swear it was a prayer. It was an impartation. It was really interesting. I haven't mentioned this yet, but a few days ago, we went to see the latest Star Wars. Star Wars is always very interesting how the writers of those stories, and this one wasn't all written by George Lucas, but it's under his umbrella. Star Wars seems to always have its finger on the pulse of spirituality. And in this one, there was a lot about the laying on of hands. I was surprised how much it figured into the story of they would call it the transference of energy, but it was like somebody laying hands on somebody. And I thought, you know, I'm sure at some point I'll do it next weekend, but when we're in the meditation weekend, I nearly always will go around in the circle and just touch. I'm not even praying in the spirit or anything. It's just something that's unspeakable, but it's a transference. I'm telling you, we just keep bumping up into living the supernatural life a lot. Just a lot. Yes. Danny said, yeah, there is definitely a power in a circle. There's something about a circle. There's something about joining hands. There's something about just, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes, you're right. Whew, next weekend's going to be good. What? Okay, what? Shell, you hearing all that? No, it's Michelle's. It's a ministry. She's called to it. I mean, she's definitely. No, there's definitely. Yeah. Wow. No, but you're right. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Say what? Oh, yeah. Wow, 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 wow. Everybody give it up for Michelle. I agree. I think it's very interesting. She was saying, talking about, you mentioned about the power of a circle. If prophets, especially during the prophetic thing, had understood that instead of just going down a line prophesying, the energy is in the circle. Of course, for big crowds, sometimes that might not be possible. But no, you're right. There is something, even, I don't think y'all would poo-poo this kind of thing, but even when you look at ideas like feng shui and stuff, there's a reason why you create energy in a space. There's a reason why I like you all up close. It's not just because it makes the pictures look better. That is a part of it. I mean, I do want it to look better. But I like that there's something happens when I'm in close proximity to you that I need. And I'm telling you, something really special happens when we come here. I know it's not always the easiest thing in the world to get here or whatever, and I that's why I don't yell at you if you can't. But there's something, for however long we're here, I will always remember this space, this holy ground, these amazing things that happen, these words that were said when we came together. And even when you speak up, you know, we're close enough now, I can at least pick it up on the mic or repeat it, you know, whatever. It's amazing what we create here every week. Exactly. Well, and it's more like the way I think Jesus taught. The whole point of a pulpit is not just to hold your papers, but it's to create a barrier. Like the clergy is different from the laity, and oh, agreed. Wow. Agreed. Well, I was with Avery and I were talking about it the other day, because you know sometimes when people will say things to you that, like when Barbara Streisand meets, when Fanny Bryce meets Nick Ornstein, she goes, "What's your name?" He says, "Nick Ornstein," and it's a freeze frame. And he goes, "Nicky Ornstein, what a beautiful, beautiful name." There's sometimes somebody will say something to you and it's like a freeze frame. And years ago, I've told y'all this a bazillion times. Here's bazillion and one. But there was a woman that used to come to the church. Her husband was a furniture dealer. Like a lot of that furniture that we bought for the cafe and all that was some, a lot of that. He did a lot of that. And he was Jewish. And I mean old school Jewish, not like Messianic Jew. I mean, he's like, you know, gefilte fish Jewish. And but he came to me one day for counseling about something he was going through. And so we were talking, and I said, "Don't misunderstand why I'm asking this, because I'm glad to talk to you, but why are you talking to me?" And he said, "Well, you're the only person I know that I would have confidence enough to even be able to." He said, "I couldn't talk to my rabbi about this." And he said, "You're the one that knows stuff." And I said, "Well, that's interesting." And I said, "Well, let me ask you this." Because he used to come to church. I don't even remember his name now. But I said, he said, "I'm not ever going to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." He said, "Just so you know, I don't believe in that." I said, "I'm not trying to get you to." Like, it actually never crossed my mind. I said, "But if you feel that strong about it, does it not bother you that I preach predominantly out of the New Testament? I mean, most of my references are to the Gospels." And he said, "No, I don't, but it doesn't bother me." He said, "First of all, I call you my rabbi, but," he said, "I also don't think you're a minister." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You're the leader of the new people." And it's like when he said that, it's like his face just kind of blocked out. And when he said, it's nearly like he didn't realize what he said. "You're the leader of the new people." And I'm like, nobody'd ever said that to me before. Like, okay. And it kind of froze for him. Leader of the new people. That's a prophecy. If I had said to him, "You just prophesied to me," he'd be like, "What are you talking about?" Because he wasn't even technically spiritual. But that was just such an insightful thing to say that even didn't really apply to me at the time, which goes back to what I was saying about forthtelling and foretelling. Interesting. One other thing, William Blake, who says, "As a man is, so he sees. As the eye is formed, such are its powers. I don't think there's anything more important than talking about vision. So I'm going to leave it right there. Let's just do about a 10-minute meditation. Because next weekend, we'll be doing it for the entire weekend. Did you get anything out of this today? Only one person? Only Reggie? Straight, please, both feet on the floor, clear your lap. Something about the beginning of this chord progression sounds like the Lord's prayer. Oh, thank you. How'd you do that, miracle man? Receptivity to such a palpable presence of God, creativity in this place. It's very, very easy to just get right into this one. So just breathe into it. Do it, be it, see it. presence. All stand. What a beautiful presence today. What a beautiful atmosphere. What are you feeling? So what? Definitely energy today. Refreshed. I love it. No pain. Anybody else? What are you feeling? What? Peace. Definitely peace. Definitely calmness. I understand. Sure, being sure of the zone. Yeah, the zone's a real thing. It's a real thing. And I've noticed recently, if I'm out of it, I can get back in it fairly easily. You know, it's like one day this week, some mornings I'll walk up to CNN Center and I'll sit there and watch the news. I'll work on my meditation, and the Starbucks I went to, it was just weird energy. Like every they were all snippy and snappy, and you know, like yelling at me and stuff. And I thought, what the heck? That never happens. You know, like what are you? Like she was like, sir. She snapped at me. I said, I'm just standing here waiting for my coffee. I'm not being. I'm just standing here. And I thought, okay, change this right now. I need to change. I don't know what is going on. What weird mojo happened when I walked up here, but because if you don't arrest it right then, you'll start having a bad day. You know, you're like, oh, this is the beginning of my story. You can't believe what a horrible day this was. And immediately it changed. It was the day that I wrote about if you don't like the energy, it might have been Monday. It might have been Monday because, right. Right. And because I wrote, I said, if you don't like the way it's going today, change the energy. Because I was having to do it myself. Because at first I was like, what are y'all doing? Why are y'all doing this to me? And I thought, no, I'm not that guy. Like, I create my reality. But maybe, I think it was Monday. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead and play this for the YouTube audience and we'll let you go.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Helping us tear down today. You can give any time using any smartphone. Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM. Danny will receive that. If you have cash, just pay it forward. You're going to have a beautiful week, whatever you need to take care of before you go out of town. Let me also say tomorrow is King Day. We honor the memory of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and an amazing, amazing man. And so in some way, you know, his dream for the day was to be service, not just a day off. So so be aware of that tomorrow. Serve somebody. Well, good. Good. So so honor that tomorrow. We do honor the man who had a dream. And, you know, for the people he was initially speaking to, there's still a ways to go, but my God, look how much things have changed. So concentrate on what's positive as you keep moving toward something better. Everything's going to be beautiful in Blue Ridge. We speak a blessing over the entire thing. And I will see you there. Go in peace.